Roma che è la mia Jana Jana Salakayat, Taksa Similitan, Jena Tasmai, Sri Grave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam, Stupitam Jena Bhutale, Sayam Rupakadamayam, Dadati Sapanantikam. Vanjakapasurvista, Kupasinduvayavasa, Titaram Bhavanega Vashmega. In the last verses we read, Prahlad Maharaj expressed his desire. And what was that desire? His desire was not for anything material, but to serve the Lord's devotees and to help others. Prahlad explained that he was even satisfied remaining in the ocean of death. He did not want to be liberated without helping others, because he explained that wherever I am, because I'm always remembering you and your glories, therefore I'm not actually in the material world. And this is the key to not being in the material world while seemingly being in the material world. And there's one purport where Prabhupada's going to really expressly push the point of preaching. I'm quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because by preaching, one will talk about Krishna continuously, if one is preaching continuously, and simultaneously one will attract the mercy of Krishna, because yaidam paramanguyam madbhakteshu vidasiti, that Krishna explains that no one is more dear to me than one who engages in preaching work, one who explains this secret to the devotees. So the Krishna consciousness movement is really based on this principle, because practically speaking, in this age, to do bhajan, to go into a secluded place and sit and chant Hare Krishna like Thakur Haridas, or to continuously engage in hearing the glories of the Lord or reading, is very, 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 very difficult, not for most people in this world. Why? Because people simply aren't pious enough to be able to do this. That means that there is less motive goodness in the people of this age, and more passion, more ignorance. So therefore, sankirtan, being engaged in sankirtan, being engaged in glorification of the Lord congregationally, also has the meaning of preaching. So Prabhupada's going to explain that in a purport, again quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In the last section, Prahlad explained, he pointed the finger exactly what the cause of our being in the material world is. It's the mind. And this has been explained ever since the second canto and the third canto, where the creation was described. Because the reflection of the pure, of the soul's consciousness, the reflection of consciousness within matter is false ego. Reflection of actual consciousness is false ego. And this, practically speaking, is the origin of the material world, false identity. And when false ego combines with goodness, passion, ignorance, the rest of the material world is created. So false ego the false identity is embodied in two ways. First, in a subtle way, in the mind, and then a more gross way in the gross body. So the subtle personification of false ego of the mind, there is so much self-identification with the mind. So much self-identification, even more practically speaking than the body, the gross body. We have more with the mind. Therefore, an insult, if someone insults us with harsh words, that's even more painful than getting a cut with a sword. And it's harder to forget as well. So much identification with the mind exists. So, Prahlad explains this, and then explains again that we heard yesterday, that for himself he has no problem, but due to this false ego tendency of the mind to grasp, hold on to material things, so everyone, basically speaking, regardless of even the species of life they're in, becomes addicted to sense enjoyment. It has to remain in the material world due to that mind's attachment to its sense of being the center, the sense of being an independent enjoyer. It's a false ego, false identity. We have to stay in the world. And Prahlad wished to liberate everyone from the material world. Very, very wonderful, selfless. And so much was Prabhupada's mood as well. Now, as Prahlad is going to finish his prayer, he's going to even more directly define the essence of false ego and our being in the material world. Yan matunadi grihamedi sukam tucham. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. This is what keeps one in the material world. This is what the mind becomes fixated upon. So these are the bars of the material world. And these bars are so ingenious that no one even wants to leave the prison because of this. And there was one tape I remember we played of Prabhupada speaking earlier on in this Bhagavatam overview, where he was saying he was talking to someone who was quoting someone saying that he's not afraid of death, even if there is reincarnation, even if there is death. There is no fear for him of death or rebirth as long as there is sex life after death. Prabhupada was quoting someone in the mood of just see. So sex life, text 45, Prahlad says, is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest pleasure of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, sober, however, and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. So the mind has been described, has been pointed to as being the body which keeps us within the material world, and here is the pleasure that body, subtle body, is attached to. Prabhupada's purport. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. The hippies, who have given up all the materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as creepiness, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of a lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by the civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, dhira, not intoxicated, not feverish of mind. A sober person sees things in the proper perspective. He doesn't see that the floor is rolling this way and that way and that everything is blurry. That's an intoxicated person's vision, inaccurate. So a sober person understands the difference between the source of pleasure, actual pleasure, and the source of misery. Indiras sindriyasya te raga dvesho vyavastita taya nav from agats chetayasya paripantanao. Even though attraction may exist for the objects of the senses and repulsion may exist, a sober person does not fall under their control because he recognizes them as stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. One should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass. But as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, mameva ye prapadyante mayam etan tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex, Jamuna Charja says in this connection, yadavadi mama cheta krishna pararavinde navanavarasa tamanu jatarantam masit. Tadavadi batanari sangame smaryamane vavati mukha vikara shushtu nitivanamcha. Munacharya says, since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought. And my lips curl with distaste. Yamuna Charja had formerly been a great king who enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways. But since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit in disgust. So how to escape from this? Of course, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, mameva ye prapadyante, to surrender to Krishna, to be Krishna conscious, even though the enjoying spirit is so difficult, impossible practically to surpass. But how to explain that? What other methods are, how to get beyond that? How to escape? What methods are there? So now in the next verses, next four verses, various Vedic methods are going to be explained and compared. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path of liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Vanashrama Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. Prabhupada's purport, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, 15th verse. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dunvanti karchneya niharam eva bashkaram. only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. Niharam iva bhaskaram, like the sun dissipates the fog, it's gone, completely gone. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. The real purpose of human life is to attain liberation from material entanglement. Such liberation can be achieved by many methods, tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha samena cha. But all of them, more or less, depend on tapasya, austerity, which begins with celibacy. Sukadeva Goswami says that those who are Vasudeva Parayana, who have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, automatically achieve the results of mona, silence, vrata vows, and other such methods simply by discharging devotional service. In other words, these methods are not so powerful. If one takes the devotional service, all of them are very easily performed, the result one gets. Mona, for example, does not mean that one should just stop speaking. The tongue is meant for speaking, although sometimes, to make a big show, a person remains silent. There are many who observe silence someday in a week. Vaishnavas, however, do not observe such silence. Silence means not speaking foolishly. Speakers at assemblies, conferences, and meetings generally speak foolishly like toads. Why is the example of a toad given? Because when the toad or the frog croaks, he makes his sound, he's just informing the black snake where he is, and the snake is gradually coming and is going to eat him and kill him. So the black snake is time. So the more one croaks with foolish sound vibrations, he is just bringing death closer. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Vacho Vegam. One who wants to say something can show himself to be a big orator, but rather than go on speaking nonsense, better to remain silent. This method of silence, therefore, is recommended for persons very attracted to speaking nonsense. One who is not a devotee must speak nonsensically because he does not have the power to speak about the glories of Krishna. Thus, whatever he says is influenced by the illusory energy and is compared to the croaking of a frog. One who speaks about the glories of the Lord, however, has no need to be silent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should go on chanting the glories of the Lord 24 hours a day. There's no question of becoming mona or silent. So Prabhupada is showing in his purport how the purpose of these 10 Vedic performances, whose goal is ultimately to get one out of the material world, are automatically performed by one who is absorbed fully in devotional service. And on the other hand, these 10 aren't in themselves powerful enough to pull one out of the material world, while devotional service, Niharam iva bhaskaram, can do that. The 10 processes for liberation or improvement on the path of liberation are not meant for the devotees. Kevalaya bhaktya. If one simply engages in devotional service to the Lord, all 10 methods of liberation are automatically observed. Prahlad Maharaj's proposal is that such processes may be recommended for the ajitendriyas, those who cannot conquer their senses. Devotees, however, have already conquered their senses. Sarva pari viniyamuktam tat paradvena niyamalam. A devotee is already freed from material contamination. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore said, Dushta mana tumike shera vaishnava pratish tera tare naran nirjanera ghare tava harinama kebala kaitava. There are many who like to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a silent, solitary place, but Prabhupada explains, quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But if one is not interested in preaching, talking constantly to the non-devotees, the influence of the modes of nature is very difficult to surpass. Therefore, unless one is extremely advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should not imitate Haridas Thakur, who had no other business than chanting the holy name always, 24 hours a day. Prahlad Maharaj does not condemn such a process. He accepts it. But without active service to the Lord, simply by such methods, one generally cannot attain liberation. One cannot attain liberation simply by false pride. So what is to be understood by all processes? Text 47. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. So this is the purpose of all these Vedic processes and methodologies, to gain the knowledge that there is nothing separate from the Lord. Even everything of the material world is His energy, and on a higher sense, is not even material, it is spiritual. As Prabhupada explains in one of his purports in the Gita, that when the jyoti, when Brahman, when the spiritual energy is covered by maya, or a sense that something, the material energy, has no connection with Krishna, then it is called matter. When spiritual energy is covered by maya, then it is material. So when the maya is removed, then one perceives it as spiritual. In Vishvapurna Sukhayate, the entire material world becomes blissful. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord, that which causes things to occur and that which occurs. They're all just energies of the Lord, because He is Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, because the cause must be there in the effect. And the effect can't exhibit something that wasn't there originally. Just like if a person gives away $1,000, he has at least that amount. The cause, or his capacity, contains at least what that effect is. So it must be there. The cause must be there in the effect. So both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service can understand how you are both the cause and the effect. Prabhupada's purport. As described in previous verses, many so-called students of spiritual understanding follow the 10 different methods known as Mauna, Vratta, Shuddha, Tapo, Dhyayana, Svadharma, Vyakya, Rahu, Japa, Samadhyaya. These may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything. Janma yasyata. Very difficult. By performing monavrata, by studying Vedic literatures, by performing one's own dharma, occupational duties, etc., tapasya, very difficult to come to this conclusion, to actually see the Lord within this. Prahlad has already explained how difficult it is to see the seed when one sees the tree. Because the seed, practically speaking, ceases to exist. So similarly, the Lord is so difficult to perceive by looking at the material world, even if one follows these 10 Vedic methodologies. But yet, through devotional service, through yoga, bhakti yoga, one can perceive that you are both the cause and effect of everything. Vasudeva savami iti. That the Lord is everywhere, in everything. Prabhupada's purport. As described in... Oh, These may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything, janma jasyata. How can one? By studying the tree, how can one understand the seed? And thus one has previous knowledge. By studying the wheat flour, how can one understand the farmer who planted the wheat? So difficult. By studying a clock, how can one understand the nature of the person who made the clock? By studying a necklace of pearls, sutre maniginaiva, how can one understand that jeweler who put together the necklace? Even though Krishna says that I am there, I am like the thread that holds everything together, how is it possible to understand this just by studying the effect? How can one understand the cause? The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Sarvakarna Karanam. This original source of everything is Krishna, the Supreme Ruler. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. He has His eternal spiritual form. Indeed, He is the root of everything. Bijam Mam Savabhutanam. Whatever manifestations exist, their cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood by so-called silence or by any other hodgepodge method. The Supreme Cause can be understood only by devotional service, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktimam Abhijananti. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Bhaktyaham ikaya graya. One can understand the original cause of all causes, the Supreme Person, only by devotional service, not by show bottle exhibitionism. All is ultimately Krishna. Text 48. O Supreme Lord, You are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. These are Krishna's separated energies. Vistabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam senasti to jagat. Krishna's pervading everything by a portion of His energies. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross. And Prahlad uses the word tvam. You are this, you are that. Tvam vayor, agni. Tvam, savam, tvam, you. You are certainly all these things. Lord Nisringadeva is right there. You. He's already described the Leela avatars who enter this world to perform specific pastimes. You are a person, yet you are the source of everything. Mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross. The material elements in anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Prabhupada's purport. This is the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how He spreads everywhere and anywhere. Savam Kalavidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman Krishna. Nothing exists without Him. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Titamidam Sarvam Jagaravyaktamutina Matstani Sarvabhutani Nachaham Teshravastita. I exist everywhere, and everything exists in me, yet I am not visible everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Supreme Lord stays only where His devotees chant His glories. Very interesting. Prahlada is now saying you are everywhere, but here you are. He's saying, Twam, it's you, Lord Nisringadeva. Because Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad's father, with a sword raised, said to Prahlad, you always say there is a God, someone superior to me, someone who is the source of everyone's power. I don't see Him. Where is He? He is everywhere, father. Is He everywhere? Yes. Well, then He's in this pillar.
Yes, well then I will kill him. Struck the pillow with his fist.
And what came out? Everything? No. But Lord Nisringadev came, appeared from the pillar, showing that although the Lord is everywhere, he's still a person. Is that conceivable, practically speaking? No, that's inconceivable. So therefore, what's conceivable for a person whose mind, consciousness, is limited by finiteness is that God is everywhere impersonally. And that's the limit that one can attain, realization one can attain by his own power. But even then, bhakti is required, actually. So you are all these things. Subtle, gross, everything. Nothing is separate from you. 49. Neither the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, because they are all subject to birth and annihilation. How could one understand his source? Can I understand my great-great-grandfather? Or even my own parents, unless they reveal themselves to me? Can I understand what it was like for them to be children growing up somewhere at a different time and a different place? Can I understand that unless they reveal it to me? No. Similarly, no one and nothing who is subject to birth and annihilation can understand the Lord, because he is eternal. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service, because by the Lord's grace he can be known when he is pleased. So here is reaching the conclusion, these two verses. That verse and the next verse, and here's Prabhupada's purport to that verse. As stated in several places, bhakti mama vijananti, only by devotional service can the Supreme Lord be understood. The intelligent person, the devotee, does not bother much about the practices mentioned in text 46, mona vritta shuddha tapo dhyayena svadharma. After understanding the Supreme Lord through devotional service, such devotees are no longer interested in study of the Vedas. Indeed, this is confirmed in the Vedas also. The Vedas say, kim arta vayam adyeshyamahe, kim arta vayam vakshyamahe. What is the use of studying so many Vedic literatures? What is the use of explaining them in different ways? Vayam vakshyamahe. No one needs to study any more Vedic literatures, nor does anyone need to describe them by philosophical speculation. Bhagavad Gita 2.52 also says, yada te mohakalilam buddhiyavyati tarishyati tada gatasi nirvedam shotavyasya shutasya cha. When one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing devotional service, one ceases the practice of studying the Vedic literature. Elsewhere it is said, aradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in his service, there is no more need of severe austerities, penances, and so on. However, if after performing severe austerities and penances, one does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such practices are useless. So how to get out of the material world? How to free ourselves from that which traps us? The mind and all the desires that fulfill the mind? By performing devotional service, Prahlad is saying. Understanding that the Lord, his nature, how he is everywhere, yet a person, achintya veda veda tattva, he is everywhere, but yet a person, he has a personality to be engaged in hearing of his glorious activities and qualities continuously, preaching, talking about him, thinking about him, giving up other methodologies that are not powerful enough to dissolve this mind in false ego. This is the recommendation of Prahlad. And then when one will understand and actually become liberated, understand what? One's relationship with the Lord. And finally, therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshipping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve? That is what is meant for the Paramhamsas. Who can get out of the material world? Who can become liberated without performing devotional service? So Prahlad has already explained the nine different methods of devotional service, but here are six. Same things explained in different ways. And those same methodologies of devotional service are sometimes expanded into 64. By Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, sometimes explained as five Panchanga Bhakti by Rupa Goswami also. But it's the same point, to always be engaged somehow or another in serving Krishna. Tate, that verse is Tate Arhatama Namastuti Karma Puja. Tat therefore, Te unto you, Arhat Tama, O supreme of all worshipable persons. Arhat, worshipable person, Tama. O therefore unto you, Arhat Tama, supreme of all worshipable persons, Nama Stuti Karma Puja. I offer my respectful obeisance to Stuti Karma Puja, worshipping your lotus feet by stuti, by offering prayers and other devotional activities. Karma, activities being dedicated to you. Smriti, constant remembrance. Chananayo, of your lotus feet. Constant remembrance of your lotus feet. How they walk on the land of Braja. How playing his flute. How, as Lord Nisringadev, he rips apart the demon Hiranyakashipu to protect his devotee Prahlad. Shravanam, always hearing, Katayam, in topics about you, some sevaya. Such devotional service, Twayi, unto you, Vina, without anything else. Or without that devotional service, Iti, Satangaya, in these, without performing this devotional service in its different parts. Kim, Bhakti, how can a person without devotional service in this way, jana, person, paramhamsakatau, obtainable, obtain that thing that is obtainable by the paramhamsas, lavita. May, how can he get this? Paramhamsa appears to be in the material world, but he's not in this material world actually. And the devotee is the topmost of paramhamsa. The pure devotee, because he's with Krishna always. Otherwise, how could, as in this previous canto, Chitraketu Maharaj says that verse, Narayana Paraksatve Nakutaschana Bibhite Swaga Pavagana Rakeshu Apito Yata Darshana. How could it be that every situation is equal to him, whether it's hell or heaven, unless he is neither in hell or heaven when he appears to be? He's with Krishna, experiencing, relishing the sweetness of that. That is the only way the externals cannot have relevance to us, if we are deeply internally connected. So how can one be that kind of a paramhamsa without this kind of devotional service? So this is the last verse of Prabhupada's prayer, of Prahlad's prayer. Read his purport, Prabhupada's purport. The Vedas enjoin Nayamatma Prava Chanena Labhyo Namedya No Bahuna Sutena. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by studying the Vedas and offering prayers. Only by the grace of the Supreme Lord can one understand Him. The process of understanding the Lord, therefore, is bhakti. Without bhakti, simply following the Vedic injunctions to understand the Absolute Truth will not be helpful at all. The process of bhakti is understood by the Paramhamsas, one who has accepted the essence of everything. The results of bhakti are reserved for such a Paramhamsa, and this stage cannot be obtained by any Vedic process other than devotional service. Other processes such as jnana and yoga can be successful only when mixed with bhakti. So Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, has elaborately described this point in his Satsandarbhas, how even if one is a yogi and wants to attain realization of the Paramatma, or one is a jnani and wishes to see the oneness of God and has no desire even to deal with the personal form, still these persons cannot attain their desire unless they have at least some bhakti. Because without bhakti, Krishna doesn't reciprocate with them and award them their desire, even if it be merging into His oneness. So these can, jnana and yoga can be successful only when mixed with bhakti. When we speak of jnana yoga, karma yoga, dhyana yoga, the word yoga indicates bhakti because it means connecting. Yoga means to connect. So what is it connecting with? It indicates it's connecting with the Supreme. Bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga, executed with intelligence and full knowledge, is the only successful method for going back home, back to Godhead. If one wants to be liberated from the pangs of material existence, he should take to devotional service for quick attainment of this goal. So that is Prahlad Maharaj's conclusion when offering prayers to Lord Nisringadev. Text 51, Sri Narada Uvacha. Narada Muni is explaining all this to Yudhisthira Maharaj. The great Saint Narada said, "Thus Lord Nisringadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up His anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, He spoke as follows." Lord Nisringadev replies in the next three verses. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled." Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsal, the Supreme Personality who is very much affectionate to His devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered His devotee all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said in effect, "I fulfill the desires of everyone." Yeyatamampapanyante, Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter. "Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for someone, for anyone else, that prayer also will be fulfilled." Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or His devotee, or if we're blessed by a devotee, naturally, we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. Lord Nisringadev continues, "My dear Prahlad, may you live for a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction." Prabhupada's one sentence purport. One cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. Lord Nisringadeva is going to tell Prahlad to take any benediction you want. Imagine if the Lord told us that. What do you want? I will give you what you want. What would we ask for? What would we ask for? Maybe I'd ask to have my hair back. It's all fallen out. What would I ask for? Money, wealth, good situation, beauty, learning. What do we actually desire? So Lord Nisringadev says, my dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Prabhupada's purport. The words dhira sava bhavena do not mean in whichever way you like. Bhava is the preliminary condition of love of God. Ata shakti stito bhavas tata prema bhyadanjati sadakkanam mayam premna padur bhave bhavet krama. That's the last part of the verse that describes the process of devotional service, beginning with adho shraddha, beginning with faith and continuing. The bhava stage is the final division before one reaches love of Godhead. The word savabhava means that one can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a different transcendental modes, in different transcendental modes of mellows, beginning with dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. In the shanta stage, one is on the border of loving service to the Lord. Pure love of Godhead begins from dasya and develops to sakya, vatsalya, and then to madhurya. Still, in any of these five mellows, one can render loving service to the Supreme Lord. Since our main business is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can render service from any of the above-mentioned platforms of love. Purport. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of asuras who always aspired for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. And Prabhupada's short purport. Pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj do not aspire for any material benefit at any stage of devotional service. When the Lord was present before Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva did not want to take any material benefit from the Lord. Swamin kritato asmi varam nayache. As a pure devotee, he could not ask the Lord for any material benefit. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us, Nadaram, Nadaram, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Va, Jagadish, Kamani, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shade, Bhavatad, Bhakti, Haitu, Kitoi. O my Lord, Jagadisha, I do not pray for benedictions by which to achieve material wealth, popularity, or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of your servant, of the servant of your servant. Thus then the Bhaktivedanta purports to the seventh canto, ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad pacifies Lord Nisringadeva with prayers. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, Prahlad will speak, he'll return to his conversation with Lord Nisringadeva, and then Lord Nisringadeva will speak again to Prahlad. So we'll continue tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Lord Nisringadeva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes. A comment.
About 48. 48. 48. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. The realization that there is no existence besides Krishna is the platform of peace and fearlessness. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane. They are transcendental and have no material effect. One is therefore filled with peace in Krishna consciousness. The one who is entangled in profit calculation for sense gratification can have happiness.
What's the verse? Read the verse.
I'm not sure.
Oh, why don't you look and then read it out loud. 5:12 you said?
5:12.
Oh, you're nice. Wonderful people.
The steadily devoted soul attains an unadulterated peace because he offers results of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled.
So nothing is separate from him. And in that knowledge, and that he's all good, that we can understand we're in good hands and we're protected and therefore can be peaceful. Thank you. Nice. Anything else? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.